You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Sunday, the 29th of October. You can join James Milman, Paddy Aspel and Lord John Budden on Racing Radio throughout the afternoon for coverage of all the day's action. We're at Aintree for a great card, including the Old Roan Chase, of course. There's some other good races on the card as well there. At Wincanton in the afternoon at Galway, and we'll hope to have Wexford as well, which is subject to an inspection, as many of our cards have been on Saturday as well. Of course, as we record this, I say we, I mean myself, John Gibby and Andrew Mount alongside me. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, John. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good, thank you.
Slightly depleted day on Saturday, but have you enjoyed, well, the return of racing to Cheltenham in particular and some of the other stuff we've seen?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've had a couple of Irish meetings as well at Galway and Leopardstown with some good stuff to plug the gaps left by Newbury and Doncaster's abandonment.
Well, before we get stuck into, well, first of all, looking back over the racing at Cheltenham over the last couple of days and then your selections for Sunday, let's just start off with something that's only been announced just before we've recorded the podcast today, which is that the Virtue Futurity Trophy, the Group 1, supposed to be run at Doncaster on Saturday, of course, abandoned that card, now going to be run at Newcastle on Friday, which is very interesting. First of all, as I have our King of the All Weather with us, I have to ask Andrew the trivia question, see if he knows the answer to this. I don't know the answer to it, but this is an interesting point. Will this be the first ever Group 1 run on the all-weather?
In Britain, I would imagine so, yes.
History. But, history.
Yeah. But that's just a guess. I'd have to double-check that. But yeah, I think so. And I guess you know, they'd have to transfer it to a track with a straight mile. And with Doncaster being an arc track, I'd imagine they'd want to keep it on one of their venues. So you know, Newcastle is a sensible venue, I think. So it'll be be fascinating to have a look at the pedigrees of the runners and see how they get on Topeter. A lot of them will be running on the surface for the first time, I would imagine, indeed most of them. And certainly tactically, probably don't want to be up with the pace or making the running over the straight mile at Doncaster. So maybe it's not going to be as cut and dried for the favourite as we thought.
With all due respect to the usual Friday night fare at Newcastle, I think a Group 1 is going to spice it up and add an extra level of intrigue. And
yeah, very much so.
Probably getting quite a few extra viewers for the action on the Tapster on Friday night as well, so we'll look forward to that. And we've also heard that the Horace Hill, which was supposed to be run on Saturday, Newbury, of course, has been transferred to Newmarket next Saturday. So those two races will be run just next weekend, after they were abandoned today. Now let's take a look back at Cheltenham over the last couple of days. And we've seen some great performances here, Andrew. It's a great meeting this every year. It really does whet the appetite for the jump season. And I think we've really got to start by looking back on Friday and with the performance of Al Dancer in that novice's chase. I know people often complain about small field novice chases, but I thought this was a really exciting one because you've got four horses here who, as chasers, potentially promise a lot. They certainly showed a decent level of form to varying degrees as herders last season. In the end, it was the odds on favourite Al Dancer, a winner for Nigel and Sam Twist and Davis.
That's right, and he had the hood back on here, and a lot of people wondered why they'd taken the headgear off when he disappointed in the Supreme Novices hurdle last season, finishing 10th that day as the 92 joint favourite. The hood came back on. He won quite comfortably by four lengths from not that Fousse, the 16-1 outsider of four. Getaway Chump was disappointing, the 6-4 second in, only finishing third. But I think he'll improve for that and well, maybe more interesting next time out. One word of warning there, if you look at the previous winners of this race, very few of them have gone on to you know, prove top class over fences. So maybe don't be rushing to back Al Dancer at around about 14-1, 16-1 for the Arkle or whatever he is for that at the moment.
A winner over fences at the first attempt at Cheltenham on Friday. Some other good performances we saw, for example, in the novices chase later on the card, the Stairs novices chase by Mulcahy's Hill, who beat Holstone.
Yeah, this was the race I thought was more interesting for highlighting future winners. We were treated to a really good finish here, 12-1 shot with Mulcahy's Hill getting the better of Holstone by a neck. Now, that pair raced 1-2 throughout. There were a couple of interesting performances in behind. The third and fourth, Manella Warrior and Rock Point, both returning from wind surgery, and both, you know, kept on well into the frame from off the pace, and you know, perhaps needing those runs as well. Now, the third, Manella Warrior, hadn't been seen for over 6 months. That was a pleasing performance to go down by just over six lengths. And so looking back to him, you know, he's often gone well second time out. Rock Point as well, for the Tizard Yard, another one who will improve for that run and be one to side with next time perhaps. And he's not exactly prolific, just one win from 16 starts now, but I certainly think there are races to be won with him. He won in Grade 2 company at the December meeting at Cheltenham last season, so certainly look out for him back at this venue in the next month or two.
Speaking of future winners, what did you make of the novices hurdle that opened the card? Of course, we saw Champagne Well win that one for Trainer Fergal O'Brien. Good day for the O'Brien team.
Yeah, and a typical Paddy Brennan Cheltenham rider when the ground's on the slow side, he kept this one wide. He was wearing a tongue tie for the first time, which has proved a profitable angle for this yard over the years. And yeah, there's one or two interesting performances in behind. No Hidden Charges, a 25-1 shot for the Neil Mulholland Yard. Finished fifth, but was only beaten by 5 3/4 lengths and raced towards the inside of the track. Now, I don't think it was a bigger disadvantage to race around the inner as it certainly was on Saturday from what we've seen so far, but I certainly think that was a run that could be upgraded. So yeah, No Hidden Charges, maybe in handicap company next time, one to side with.
Any other performances we need to highlight from the Friday?
I think that was it from the Friday, but there's definitely more on the Saturday that I'm keen to get to.
Okay, well, why don't we go through the races that we've had one by one, in fact, as we record this. We've still got two races to go, and we'll start off by taking a look at the 2 o'clock, the opener, of course, that handicap chase, competitive stuff. It did look like the well-backed West Approach was going to win at one point, but he's just been done out the run-in by the conditional at 14-1.
Yeah, West Approach is very consistent, but he's a frustrating so-and-so, and he only won once from 17 starts over hurdles, and now it's 2 from 12 over fences. Now, his wins have come in small fields since he's gone over obstacles. 5 runners over hurdles and 6 and 4 runners over fences. He needs to go left-handed as well. He did win at Exeter last season, but the race fell apart. The 2-1 on favourite fell early, and it was sort of handed to him on a plate. But the thing with West Approach is he's now had 21 runs in fields of 8 or more runners, and he's lost every single one. I think he's the kind of horse who could go well in a graded race, in a better class contest, because he'll be probably running in a small field. Imagine a Cotswolds chase in late January here at Cheltenham when he's got sort of 5 or 6 rivals. I think he could really make his mark in a race of that nature. So in these big field handicaps, I want to take him on every time. He'll probably run well without winning, as he did today, but you know, maybe don't dismiss him if he turns up in a higher grade and a smaller field next time.
Really enjoyed the 4-year-old hurdle, the second race on the card. Caldas Stan winning that for Paul Nichols, but a great run from Soviet Pimpernel in second as well. Torpedo, the odds-on favourite. A little bit disappointing back in third.
Yeah, what was interesting about this race was that the jockeys in the early stages, most of them were keen to avoid the inside rail on the first circuit. Torpedo, Daryl Jacob, had that one wide. The winner, Caldas Stan, was wide, as was the runner-up, Soviet Pimpernel. Now, the two who raced towards the inner, Efanok Fizz and Kaiser, finished last and second last. Admittedly, they were quite big prices, 40-1 and 16-1 respectively. But what was surprising and disappointing for favourite backers was that Daryl Jacob went more towards the inner as they turned into the straight, whereas Kel Destan under Harry Cobden was kept hard up against that stand side rail, and that proved to be the winning manoeuvre. Now, if these three met next time, I'd want to back Torpillo. And you know, maybe Kel Destan and Soviet Pimpernel were a shade flattered by the way they raced on the better ground for much of the race. So perhaps don't be rushing to back Kel Destan at a likely short price next time.
The next race, the 3:10 2-mile handicap chase. This was really the race, Andrew, of horses that people thought might take top order in a 2-mile chase and never quite got there. And among those, St. Calvados justifying favouritism.
Yeah, I mean, I made a fool of myself with this one. This was quite a costly race because I've laid St. Calvados at 9-2 on on Friday night thinking he's best in small fields, he's going to get taken on for the lead. Cheltenham's perhaps not his track. His best form seems to be at easier venues like Newbury and Warwick. And of course, he's refused the early pace, which was a sensible move, kept wide in fourth or fifth place in the early stages. He looked fantastic, hard fit, according to Ken in the paddock, and he's duly won. Now, Vanuatu came there looking sure to win towards the outside, but St. Calvados has rallied very gamely under that big weight of 11 stone 12 and prevailed by a length. Some interesting performances in behind, Knock Nanus for Gary Moore. He was in need of the run, according to Ken's paddock observations, and he was very keen in the early stages as well. I was quite convinced he was going to drop out the back of the telly turning into the straight, but he stayed there, and he's only finished 2.5 lengths behind the leader in third. Do It For The Village, my each-way pick in the race, ran fourth. Maybe he'll be back here at the November meeting, and he's got a good record, so third time out. This was his second run of the season, so don't give up on Do It For The Village. But that's going to be an informative race, and I'd certainly be surprised if St. Calvados doesn't win in graded company in the very near future.
And finally, the 3:45 was a potential hurdle series qualifier over 3 miles, of course, and that was won by To Be Fair, who has gotten the better of Sunset Showdown, those two clear of the rest of the field.
Yeah, what was interesting here, we had 8 runners, and when they lined up, 4 of them were towards the inside rail, 4 of them were on the outer, where the ground we've seen so far has been much quicker. Now, the winner, the second and the fourth raced on the outer. Great ride from Tom Bellamy on To Be Fair, who was widest of all in the closing stages, and that's what made the difference, I feel, beating Sunset Showdown by half a length. But it was the performance of the 8.5-length third Sykes that really caught the eye. Nicky Martin's veteran raced towards the inside of the track, and I thought, again, he's on the slowest ground. Surely he can't be in the first three, but he's kept plugging away. It looked like he might win at one stage, and then he's sort of succumbed in the closing stages. Now, if you look at his record, second time out, this was his seasonal debut today, he's won 5 times from 5 starts, so he's got to be a bet next time out. I'd have liked him to have finished a little further behind the leaders here, so maybe we'll get a bigger price next time out, but that 5 from 5 second time out record is makes Sykes a tempting bet next time out wherever he turns up.
Well, that was action at Cheltenham across the weekend. Now let's turn our attention to what's happening on Sunday, and as usual, Andrew, you've got 2 selections for us here on the podcast. What's the first going to be?
Yeah, I'm going to Aintree, and this is the Veterans Handicap Chase at 150. You probably know that I've got a sort of simple system for these races, which is to side with the youngest horses eligible, which is 10-year-olds. And you look at the last 10 renewals of this race, we've had 8 winning 10-year-olds, 2 winning 11-year-olds. And so, 3 years ago with Shul Royale, 2010 with Alderburn, who only just prevailed from a 10-year-old who was a 25-1 outsider. So that would make me want to oppose On Tour, the current 7-2 favourite, who's an 11-year-old. He ran well in one of these at Chepstow last time, finishing a close second. And he also goes very well at this time of year. If you just look at his form between September and November, I think it's 7 wins from 12 starts. However, he's yet to win beyond 2.5 miles. So 3 miles one round here against some younger rivals, I think he's vulnerable. And again, Carol's Destrier. This one is third in the betting, another 11-year-old. And the fourth favourite, 7-1 Shot Theatre Guide. He's a 12-year-old. They've got a very low strike rate in these veterans races. So I'm drawn to the 10-year-olds. And a couple in particular, the one I'm going to put up as a bet is Burton's Well. Been off the track for 664 days, trained by Venetia Williams. Now, we know historically she tends to get going when the mud's flying at this time of year. Back her runner's blind in November, you make a profit. We're only a few days away from that month. And Burton's Well has gone well fresh in the past. There was a winner on his racecourse debut. That was in 2014 at 20-1. And then 2016, so he's obviously been hard to train. He finished second to Waiting Patiently on his comeback. No disgrace in that. And then in 2017, second by a neck on his seasonal debut. So there's big gaps in his career. He's only had 9 runs despite making that debut 5 years ago. But I think he'll be spot on for this run. And although he's not won or even raced over this 3 mile, 1 furlong trip, the fact that he's reappearing over it suggests that fitness isn't going to be a problem. Yeah. If you've got an unfit horse, you're going to run them over a shorter trip than they perhaps need. So you don't want to sort of risk them taking a tired fall in the closing stages. So I'll take a chance with Burton's Well at 10-1.
Burton's Well, after 664 days off the track, is the selection for Andrew Mount in that veteran's chase. Just go through the prices, because we have priced up this race here at William Hill. Ontor 7-2 at time of recording. The favourite 4-1 Kidaro Boy. Cal's Destrier is 9-2. 7-1 Theatre Guide. Captain Redbeard 8-1. 10-1 Burton's Well. Same price for Indian Temple, Monbeg River, and Arcane for all at 10-1. I believe your other selection runs in the big one, Andrew.
That's right. This is the old Rowan Chase. This is a fantastic race, and I've got fond memories of Monet's Garden sort of jumping to victory in this race. He was such a flamboyant grey for the Richards Yard, and if you can watch the video of that victory, his two victories in 2009, 2010, I'd certainly recommend it. The second time he won this race was as a 12-year-old, which took some doing. Now, the one I like here, which probably won't surprise you, is Kalashnikov, a horse I'm a big fan of. And the key to Amy Murphy's six-year-old is that he must go left-handed. You look at his record in this direction. First, that was the Betfair Hurdle, of course, in 2018. Second by a neck in the 2018 Supreme Novices Hurdle. First at Warwick, first at Plumpton. An unseat in the Arkle at Cheltenham. And then, of course, a win over course and distance from La Bagoroy in the 2.5 mile Manifesto Novices Chase, a Grade 1 contest. That was on good to soft ground. It was his first run beyond 2 miles, 1 furlong. And it opens up a whole load of possibilities this season, after which Amy Murphy said, this is his trip. He's going for the Ryanair next season. So don't worry about his stamina on this soft ground. I think he's going to win this. He's only 5-4, been back from 5-2 anti-post. But I'll certainly be having a couple of quid on him on Sunday. Danger at a big price could be Flying Angel for the Nigel Twist and Davis Yard. This outfit do well at this time of year. You back their runners blind in October, you make a profit. He's a course and distance winner. And again, he's a bit like West Approach. He likes small fields. His three wins over fences have all come in fields of six runners, including, I say, a Grade 1 victory over course and distance. So despite some poor-looking form figures going into the race, maybe Flying Angel can chase home the favourite here.
Need to mention Frodon as well, second favourite. Of course, Ryanair winner for Paul Nicholls and Bryony Frost. And, second favourite behind Kalashnikov in the market. Big weight to carry, but can't be dismissed.
Yeah, that's right. This one is conceding a stone to the favourite. And looking at those wins though last season, they all came on quicker going, and the last time he raced on officially soft ground, he was beaten 37 lengths into fifth at Cheltenham. So you could argue that, you know, since he's had his win done, you know, maybe he's going to be finishing his races better regardless of the ground. But although he's won on sort of soft ground in the past, I think in this grade, ideally he needs good or good to soft ground at worst. So I just think he might be vulnerable.
That's the old Rowan Chase, the 3 o'clock at Aintree. Just to go through the betting in full, Kalashnikov 5-4 favourite at time of recording, 2-1 Frodon, Forest to be hand 13-2, 9-1 Big Matra, and Flying Angel is 14-1. That meeting's live on Racing Radio, of course, in addition to the rest of the day's action. Do join us then, join us tomorrow for another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. And Andrew, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, John, pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.